It is 1:33. This is KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Brain. We're breaking into our programming this hour to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. At yesterday's briefing, we saw an increase of 734 new cases of COVID-19. That brought the state's total number of people who have ever tested positive to 40,181. We saw an additional 12 Arkansans hospitalized for a total of 501. That is the highest point of hospitalizations we've seen since the pandemic began. And we saw an additional 20 Arkansans who have died from COVID-19. That is the largest single-day increase in new COVID-19 deaths that we have seen during the pandemic. That brought the total number of Arkansans who have died from that disease to 428. And as of yesterday, we had a total of 6,565 active COVID-19 cases in the state. That includes 225 within the state's correctional facilities, 79 within the state's nursing homes, and just over 6,200 in the general public. As has been the case recently, Pulaski County had the highest increase in new cases yesterday, with 55 residents testing positive, 50 in Benton County, 48 in Mississippi County, 45 in Sebastian County, 45 in Washington County, 36 in Pope County, and 34 in Faulkner County. And we say Pope County there in the top few cases. We are in Pope County today, joining the governor speaking in Russellville on the campus of Arkansas Tech. As has been the case, we usually see the governor bringing his briefings to various parts of the state and then later highlighting the sort of dynamics of the COVID-19 pandemic, how they have affected those various parts of the state. The most recent of which, I believe, was Northwest Arkansas. The governor recently was in Fayetteville on the at the Washington Regional Medical Center. We heard yesterday that the state legislature actually approved $7 million, which the governor had been vocally in support of, $7 million to go toward reaching out to Northwest Arkansas minority communities, specifically the Latinx and Marshallese communities. That follows a recommendation from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. They had sent a team to Northwest Arkansas to help mitigate what had been a quite sizable outbreak there in that part of the state. They had recommended greater outreach, greater contact tracing efforts, and greater testing for those two minority communities to mitigate the fact that they are a small part of the population, but a disproportionate part of COVID-19 deaths and cases. Now we go live to Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking from Arkansas Tech in Russellville. This is KYR News.
I want to thank Dr. Jennifer Delahaye, our state epidemiologist, for joining us. Secretary Mike Preston, who we had a great announcement today in Little Rock about job creation, and joining the conversation earlier with our city and county leaders in terms of the economy here. And then I got our Surgeon General, Dr. Greg Bledsoe, here as well. And so welcome to today's daily COVID update from Russellville. And we just had, as our custom, a wonderful community meeting to the extent you can have community meetings socially distanced. But we were socially distanced and had, and I learned a lot talking to our education leaders here about the plans for opening school this year. The precautions that have been taken. We had business leaders there and industry leaders. And of course, we are hosted by Arkansas Tech University, and it's wonderful to be on the campus, Dr. Bowen, of Arkansas Tech University. And Mayor Harris has been a good host for us as well here in Russellville. But it was a very important conversation as we had with the different leaders that were here and joined us. I did want to first of all, make an addition to the announcement we made the other day. And the other day we announced that we were putting $10 million into providing Wi-Fi access points to our school districts across the state. And this is to help those families that do not have high-speed broadband and to provide a hotspot or a Wi-Fi access point to them. That has been very well received by our education leaders, and I'm pleased to announce that Verizon has joined in that partnership, and will be a part of one of the providers for those access points to our school districts, and we're grateful for their joining in that participation. Also, of course, there's always the controversy around masks, and I understand the difficulty of it, but I was glad that the mayor talked about how people in this county, Pope County, are working on it, understand the importance of making sure everybody around them is healthy. I noted a letter to the editor in one of the Northwest Arkansas newspapers. It was from Dan Keyes, and I won't read the whole thing, but he said he's a Vietnam vet, and that's, you can see why he's expressing it this way. I spent a year of my life sleeping on a cot surrounded by dirt, rats, and sandbags. That was inconvenient. I spent a year of my life trying to not get shot. That was inconvenient. Thousands of American healthcare providers are working day and night, putting their lives at risk, treating COVID-19 patients. That's inconvenient. As of this writing, more than 135,000 Americans have died from COVID-19. 100% of those victims were infected by someone else who more than likely didn't realize what they were doing, and wearing a mask may have well prevented that infection. And he goes on and says, having survived a year in Vietnam, I don't want to die alone on a hospital bed. And he says, let's just all go out and simply wear a mask. And since I'm of that era of the Vietnam, I appreciated that veteran in his service to our country, but also in the message that he has about how simple it is, maybe a little bit inconvenient, but how important it is for us to get to where we want to be, and that is to have school, to have sports, to have some normalcy in life in a different way. So with that, let's look at the cases for today. Yesterday, we had 40,181 cases. We have today an additional 787 cases. That brings us to 40,968. We have seven additional hospitalizations. That is 508. We have six additional deaths that bring us to 434. And while the case number is somewhat flat from where we've been in previous days, the concern is that our testing is 4,519, which is not as high as we wish it would be. And I think you'll see from the graphs that we'll present here shortly as to the reason for that, and the concern that we have on the volume of testing and how we need to increase that. In terms of our top counties, we had Chico County with 152 cases. Now, there is a correctional facility there that's responsible for 145 of those cases, so I think that's understandable where that number is coming from. Pulaski County is at 82, Sebastian County 43, Benton County, 33, Little River County, 30, Craighead County, 24, Mississippi County, 22, and Washington County, 22. And the fact that Pope County is not on that list is a good thing. That means you had fewer than 20 new cases in the last 24 hours. The notable thing also is that for a long time it was Benton, Washington, and Pulaski County, and Benton and Washington County barely made the top 10. Now, I hope that's not simply a result of not testing enough, but I think it is an indication that you'll see from some of the progress that's been made. If we go to the graphs, you can see in better form the new cases, and you can see that of the 787 new cases, 170 of those are in the correctional facilities. And then the next one, you'll see the rolling average, the 7-day rolling average. That, if we keep on the trend, that'll come down a little bit because we'll lose some of those high marks here pretty soon on the 7-day rolling average. But we've got to flatten that. On the number of hospitalized, we're holding our own. I talked here in Pope County and in this area in the River Valley, there's more than adequate capacity for treating our COVID patients. And so that's a goal that we have, and that was good news today, but we continue to watch that. Next, you'll see our active cases, and this is the positive cases, less those that have recovered in a cumulative fashion. And here our active cases have declined a little bit. That is good news. And then the this is by region, and this is what I like to do when I get out in the state, is to look at the regions a little bit more. Pope County, where we are today, is in the health region of the Northwest. And so we're talking Northwest today. And the Northwest region, you can see this is the growth rate of new COVID cases. And the Northwest is now down at one of the slowest growth rates of the different public health regions. Again, a success story that through contact tracing, concentrated effort, we're able to start stemming that tide of the growth of cases in the Northwest part of the state. That is really a good thing. And we've seen that in other areas of the state that we've looked at. In the 7-day rolling average of new cases in the Northwest region, you can see that illustrated in another way that it's on the decline. And then the number of currently hospitalized, and this was a great concern in the Northwest Arkansas hospitals as to the tightness of their capacity because they were using their ICU beds for other purposes, routine care. And there you see the strain on the hospitals from the COVID patients flattening out. And then this is another look in the Northwest region by county. And this shows the number of cases on July 19th, and then the number of cases on July 25, and then it has the percent growth rate. And here, let's look at Pope County. Pope County had 845 cumulative cases. It went to 1,017, so they had a 20.4% growth rate. And if you look in comparison, obviously the one above in Newton County is very high, small number, but it was a nursing home breakout there in Newton County. You have Marion County with a 20% growth rate. You've got some of the smaller counties, higher growth rate, but Pope County should not be satisfied with that growth rate, is my point. And so while we see some encouragement in the whole region, Pope County is one that needs to be watched. We need to continue to be vigilant and on the guard. And then that's just the growth rate in the Northwest region by age group. And so this breaks it down a little bit different, instead of by county, but by age group. And here, the highest growth rate is in 65 plus, probably largely because of the cases in Newton County that we saw, because generally the highest growth rate is in the 18 to 24, 25 to 44 category. But you can see it hits all age groups. And here yesterday, if you followed it, I had from the Department of Health that did a good job of giving us the percent positivity by county of residence, but it was cumulative positivity. And I indicated that I really need more contemporary information, real-time information, because that helps us to make good decisions on responses to cases, whether it's in a school or in athletics or in the community. And so this is the 14-day rolling positivity rate by county of residence. And I know you'll want to spend more time in studying that, but if you look at Pope County, you go straight there, it's a 17% positivity rate over the last 14 days. That should tell you something. That should tell you something. Whenever our goal is to have a 10% positivity rate by the CDC guidelines, and if whenever we're looking at school, we want it even lower than that. And so we've got work to do. You look down the road in Conway County, it's 2.3% growth rate. Johnson County, 21% growth rate. And this is rolling over the last 14 days. Benton County's dropped to 6.8%. Pulaski County, 7.6%. Cleveland County, 13.5%. So you get the flavor for the different counties, but this is very, very helpful information, county by county in the last 14 days. And I know that helps motivate it. I think the judge said we're testing a lot here, so we keep testing, but let's also look at that positivity rate. And this is something that I looked at that discouraged me, and I don't like getting discouraged, but we've really been looking at our number of tests that we're doing, and you can see how high we got in one day, over 8,000 tests, and now we're down to 4,500 tests. And if you look at the white, the Department of Health is doing their job, fairly consistent, UAMS is, but the red graph, bar graph, of course, there are commercial labs, and they're being slammed by cases from all over the country. They're backed up, we're not getting as quick a turnaround, and we're not getting the number of cases from commercial labs, and part of it could be that if people realize that it's going to take a long time to get it, it discourages them from going in and getting the test. We've got to turn that around nationally, and I had a call yesterday with the White House, and I was informed that in August it's going to get better. They're ramping up their commercial testing. We'll look for that, but that would be great news because we need that red part of that graph to get higher. And I think that concludes it. I know that was a lot for today, but that was important, and we like to give that deeper analysis as we come into the counties. And with that, I'll invite Dr. Dillahay for her comment.
This is Dr. Jennifer Dillahay, Medical Director for Immunizations and Outbreak Response at the State Health Department. You're listening to KYR 89.1.
So as the governor said, we had 787 new cases for today. And that gives us a total of 40,968 cases cumulative over the time of this pandemic. Those 787 cases, 617 were in the community, and as the governor said, we've had an outbreak in Chico County, which contributed 145 cases. So overall, for the correctional cases in today's numbers, there's 170 cases. There's 508 people who are in the hospital with COVID-19. That's an increase of 7 from yesterday. We have 108 people on the ventilator. There's been an increase of 2 from yesterday. And there are a total of 438 deaths, which we added 6 from yesterday. Of those that have recovered, there's 33,938, and we're pleased that since yesterday, that was an increase of 750. We know that we have 80 in the nursing home for our active cases. We know that 342 of our active cases are in correctional facilities, and 6,174 in the community. So that gives us a total of 6,596 cases in the community. So I wanted to talk about some of the testing today. We have reported 4,519 tests for today with a cumulative positivity of 8.2. So when we talk about testing, I want people to know when they get tested that they should isolate themselves until they get the result. That is different than getting tested and waiting till you get the result to get isolated. Because people, if they are positive, then they may spread COVID-19 while they're waiting for the result. So we go ahead and ask people to be proactive in isolating themselves or while they're waiting for the test. And I'd like to take a few moments also to talk about the difference between isolation and quarantine. So isolation is when someone is sick and they need to keep from spreading the illness. And there's different lengths of time for which someone needs to be isolated. So when someone is at home, they don't have to be in the hospital. They have mild to moderate illness, or maybe they don't have illness at all, but they've tested positive. then they need to be away from other people to keep from spreading the disease for 10 days. So beginning from the day that they began with symptoms, or if they didn't have symptoms the day they had their positive test drawn or the sample taken, then they need to stay away from other people that they could give the virus to for 10 days. If a person is in the hospital or more severely ill, then they need to at least be isolated for 20 days. And the reason for this is that the CDC has looked at studies, and people are not known to shed the virus after about 10 days when they have mild to moderate illness. But people who've had moderate to severe or have weakened immune systems can shed the virus for a longer period of time. So they need to be isolated for 20 days. Isolation and quarantine are not the same thing. Isolation is for when someone is ill and they need to stay away from other people to keep from spreading the virus. Quarantine is when someone has been exposed and they don't know if they're going to develop the disease or not. So those people need to remain away from other people for 14 days, because we know it can take up to 14 days for someone to develop the illness. Of course, if they do develop the illness during that 14 days, then we ask them to get tested, or even be tested if they don't have symptoms yet, but we know they have been exposed. So that's up to 14 days. If they get tested during those 14 days, they still need to complete the 14 days of quarantine, because they could potentially develop the illness after their test if it's within that 14-day period. So 14 days of quarantine for people who've been exposed, 10 days of isolation for people who have COVID-19 if they've had mild to moderate symptoms, or 20 days if they've been in the hospital or they have had more severe symptoms, or if they have a weakened immune system. So that's the difference, and I hope that will help give some clarity to some of the questions we've been receiving at the health department. So thank you.
I'm delighted to have the Surgeon General join us today. Dr. Bledsoe.
This is Arkansas Surgeon General Dr. Greg Bledsoe.
Thanks, Governor. Appreciate his leadership on this issue, and it's great to be in Russellville today. You know, a lot of people don't realize that the Surgeon General position is a part-time position, and in the private sector, I have another role, and for the last 2 months, I've been serving as the Medical Director at St. Mary's Regional Medical Center here in Russellville. And it's been a really eye-opening experience for me, not just because of the number of COVID patients that we've been seeing, but also because of the quality of the staff and the commitment of the staff to take care of patients here in Russellville. You know, Russellville and the surrounding communities need to be very proud of their healthcare providers. People like Dr. Vicki Henderson, who's the chief medical officer, Dr. Jeremy Rutherford, who's in charge of the hospitalist group there, Dr. Owen Kelly, who's the chief of staff at the St. Mary's Regional Medical Center, and CEO Bob Honeycutt. These are people who lay it on the line every single day, who are sacrificing their time and their effort and focusing in on how to make things safer and better for the community, and are doing just an incredible job taking care of the people who are coming into our emergency departments, having procedures done, getting admitted to the hospital, and then following up with people. So I just want to say a big shout of thanks to the staff at St. Mary's and then the other healthcare providers around in the community. They're doing a fantastic job. And then the other thing I just want to say and remind the state of is that we're going to get through this. You know, it seems like this is going on forever. I know I was looking at my calendar and realizing that our first case in the state of Arkansas was March 11th, and it seems like a year ago. It was only a few months ago. But we're going to get through this as a state. What we need to do is follow the guidelines that the health department has set out, that Dr. Delahaye has mentioned, and under Governor Hutchinson's leadership, we're going to take this one day at a time and move this forward. And eventually things are gonna get better. And so I wanna remind the state of that. We're gonna get through this. We just need to keep pushing forward and thank the governor for his leadership, and thank the community here in this part of the state for participating so well and for doing so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Greg. With that, we'll take any questions.
I guess What was it that the White House said was actually going to get better come August when it comes to testing? Are they beefing up supply chains? Kind of what's leading to
that? That's correct. It's a supply chain. There's six national commercial labs, and they've been under the gun. They've been behind. And so the White House in communication, providing support, encouraging increased production, have been assured that those labs will be increasing production next month. There's one specific lab that a lot of us rely upon in Arkansas that's going to be increasing their production. So hopefully that will impact us here in Arkansas in a positive way.
Yes. As testing times have lengthened for the PCR tests, we've seen a lot of clinicians move to the antigen testing, and actually the state's a big proponent of that now. Do you think that perhaps some of the decline we're seeing in commercial labs is an indication that, you know, those clinics are now using the antigen tests and those are not being reported by the state right now?
I think it's a very good observation. I'd like to look at that data more deeply, but that would actually be reassuring if that is in fact the case, and it illustrates the importance of actually accounting for those antigen tests, because these are all PCR tests. And so I've asked the Department of Health to get those statistics for me. We will show those separately, but we want to be transparent. We want everybody to know. I want to know, and we want those tests to happen. So that could be, but we do want to look at the data more carefully, and hopefully we'll learn from that.
The Marshall Project released a statement earlier in the week that Arkansas, by far the highest per capita of prison infections. Is there anything ongoing that the prison system is doing to kind of reel this in?
Well, I think part of the reason for that is that we have a much more comprehensive response when we have one positive test in the prison system. And so we will be testing maybe 1,000 inmates because they are in the same general pod or facility as one positive case. They're not symptomatic, but as a result of doing that, we will discover cases that we report that other states that don't follow that same policy will not report. And so I think the fact that we have that kind of testing is a good thing, and it's helped us to protect and isolate. We're constantly looking at ways we can do it better and improve, and I've challenged our new Secretary of Corrections to give a fresh look at it, and if there's ways that we can improve it, we will.
And of those numbers, do we know how many of the prison population workers are infected, or does that kind of fall under the general population?
No, we keep those separately, and we do have that information. We probably don't have it handy, but we'll be glad to get that to you, and we do have that. Yes?
So, speaking of the good job that the state has done following up on testing at its prisons, are we planning on doing something similar with school outbreaks or to address serial testing in our poultry plants or other factories?
Well, first of all, in the nursing homes, which you didn't ask about, but obviously we're increasing the testing there. That's a priority of the federal government, and they're a good partner with us that they're sending antigen tests and antigen machines, testing machines to nursing home facilities to do more broad testing, particularly of staff there on a routine basis. In terms of schools, in talking with Dr. Bowen at Arkansas Tech University, they're enhancing their capacity for testing. They're working with our higher ed community to do that, and that's been funded by the legislature. We'll see if it's enough. And then in terms of our high schools, we're still developing some of those plans, but it is important, and we're looking at whether those 200 antigen test machines should be utilized in some way to have a quick response on testing, and even in our high schools, particularly for our teachers. But that's something we're still developing the specific plan on.
I guess, too, when it comes to schools and the potential for closing down, how much of that info with the 14-day rolling average are you going to depend on? And then also, too, are you going to make that call for you know, like we did early on with the counties, or are you going to leave that more to the individual districts to maybe just shut buildings down, et cetera, et cetera?
So it wouldn't be closing the school down. Of course, it would be changing from online, in-classroom instruction to more virtual instruction. And so if that is necessary, then that will be coordinated between the local school district and the Department of Health. And so there's a lot of flexibility there. And the reason this information on positivity, on the case spread in the community is so important is it helps to determine the level of response. It might be we need to shift for 1 or 2 days so we can do some cleaning and then move back into regular instruction, or it could be a more strenuous response because there's a greater spread. So this helps to inform us as to how we should properly respond. Is there any questions remotely?
Yeah, Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Had a couple questions for you related to that Democrat Gazette story today about Dr. Romero and the concerns he had raised about moving into phase two. I wanted to see, did those concerns reach you, and did they give you any pause about going into phase two? And also looking forward with school opening, have you received similar caution or warning from health officials about moving forward with in-person instruction for schools next month? And would that factor into a decision on moving forward?
Well, let's go back to the decision to move to phase two. And that seems like it's a century ago, but I guess it was only months ago. But I'm relying upon my recollection, and the short answer is absolutely yes. I want to know dissenting voices. I want to know broadly what the thinking of our medical advisory group is, our physicians group. And I reviewed that with Dr. Smith at the time. And as you recall, I think it was even Dr. Romero preferred options 4 and 5, and that I chose one of those options. And so I went with the option that there was the greatest consensus on, and that's the decision that was made. So I listened very carefully to all the voices within the physician advisory group, and I will continue to do that. There's never a unanimity of opinion, but I love it whenever somebody, whether it's a Dr. Romero or otherwise, speak out and states their opinion. That's what good counselors do, and that's what we've received. In terms of the future, whether it's sports or whether it is school, there's been a unity of opinion on the decisions that I have made. I'm sure there's dissenting voices, but they make recommendations. I listen to that. We make the best judgment that we can. We'll continue to do that. Any other question remotely?
Hey, Governor, I'm at 4029. Back to the question on how Arkansas prison systems has the highest per capita number of COVID-19 infections. The ACLU of Arkansas is asking you and the state to do more to combat COVID-19 in the prison. What is your response to this, and what more can be done?
I'm happy to look at any suggestion. And so as we had, many times I see the suggestions, and we've already implemented many of those, but if these are new suggestions, I'm happy to look at them. We're always looking for ways to improve and to do better and to protect the health of our inmates, because they're Arkansans by and large, and that's our responsibility, and it's also what we want to do as fellow Arkansans. So I'll be happy to look at that. If these are old suggestions that came out of the original lawsuit that was filed, that lawsuit, of my understanding, was dismissed and really didn't go anywhere, did not have merit before the district court. But if there's new ideas, we'll continue to look at those.
Governor, this is James White at the newspaper up in Harrison. Regarding the Newton County Nursing Home, is there any more news on conditions in the facility? I've been told that staff who tested positive are staying at the facility caring for those residents who tested positive and are ill. Also, were any of the deaths reported today from that nursing home? And is contact tracing underway to determine the source of the outbreak there?
Dr. Dillahay, do you have any light to shed on any of that?
I don't have specific information about the death.
Why don't you come to the microphone?
This is Dr. Jennifer Dillahay with the Health Department.
Thank you, Governor. I don't have specific information about whether there was a death related to that nursing home yet. With regard to staff, the staff who work in the nursing home, when there is a staff shortage, if a staff person is asymptomatic and positive, they have been permitted at times to work and care for residents who are also positive, but not residents who are negative. If staff have been exposed and have no symptoms as a, we call it critical infrastructure worker, they may also continue to work. The nursing home must screen them, do their temperature checks and so forth so that they do not report to work ill.
Any other question? We have one here. Let's come to the room first, and we'll go back remotely in the room. Yes.
Yes, Governor, have there been any major problems reported by law enforcement as far as people not wanting to wear masks, being adamant, and not wanting to leave a place because of it?
None have come to my attention. Those are handled locally, of course, and I might not be aware of all of them. We have our state alcoholic beverage control enforcers that are out there that have made a difference as they inspect premises that they have jurisdiction over, but they also look at the compliance on public health rules as well. And that's been helpful. But I don't have the information that you're asking for in terms of local law enforcement and any responses that they have made. And let's go remotely. I've heard some questions.
Yes, this is Melissa Zigowitz with THV 11. My question is, when you look at our contact tracing and testing capabilities in the state right now, especially looking at how long it takes for some people to get test results back, do you think our system is ready to take on opening up schools next month in the case we do start seeing outbreaks?
Well, opening up school is more than 3 weeks away, so we are learning things every day. We're improving our infrastructure, our testing capability. And so you probably should ask me that question maybe a week out. And our answer will be hopefully much different than what it might be today. Today, in terms of we're building the capacity for testing, the contact tracing, thankful to the General Assembly Legislative Council yesterday that approved about $17 million, I believe it is, in enhancing our contact tracing capacity. We're also increasing our testing capacity within the state. And so as we get closer to school, our infrastructure is improving on both those points. You know, today, one of the hospitals said that they utilize a commercial lab, and that right now they're getting the test back within 2 days. It's varied in the past, but there's some horror stories out there, but that illustrates the fact that while it's taking too long, there's some labs that we have to shift to that can get it back in a quicker turnaround. And so sometimes the local hospital or medical group has to switch providers to get a quicker response time. So we're right now in a period of adjustment, I believe. I'm optimistic that in the next couple weeks, that's going to get better. Is there any other question?
Yes, Governor, if you could please, and really this question I think is for Dr. Dillahay, if she could come back and qualify the difference. I got the 10 days to 14 days to 20 days on the difference between isolation and quarantine, but is there a difference in the way someone who is isolating should conduct themselves as opposed to someone who's quarantined conduct themselves outside of the days?
Jim, you make it clear that there's only when it's symptomatic that they have to isolate.
And this is Dr. Jennifer Dillahay, Medical Director of Outbreak Response at the Health Department.
Isolation and quarantine, the activities that someone would take would be essentially the same. So a person who is isolating, if they're isolating at home, they should be in a room to themselves with no one else entering the room while they're there. If they go into a room with someone else in the household, then they need to have a face covering on and stay 6 feet distance. And it's the same way if someone's quarantining at home. They should be quarantining separate from anyone else in the household, no contact. And I also would like to add that the health department has facility that if people are not able to isolate or quarantine at home, we could help them house them for that period of time. So that's an option. And then we also have services so that people, if they're by themselves and they can't get food, then we can work with them to get food. But it's for people who are either sick or have been exposed, the actions are essentially the same. And that's why there's so much confusion over isolation quarantine, because the actions are pretty synonymous.
The last question's right here in the room.
So you mentioned that ADH would coordinate with school districts to determine when they need to transition over to virtual learning. Does ADH have enough staff to really be able to evaluate each school district in the state at a granular level each day to keep tabs on that before an outbreak occurs?
To keep tabs on that before an outbreak occurs?
Yeah, because, we've seen how quickly an outbreak can kind of explode. Does ADH really have enough staff to look at each school district in the state every day to know, okay, that percent positive is up and, you know, we really need to attack this before it gets out of hand?
Dr. Dillahay, do you want to address that?
And again, Dr. Jennifer Dillahay with the Health Department.
So the Health Department works with the Arkansas Department of Education, who works with the school districts to do that kind of functioning. So we are advising the Department of Education and those that deal with K through 12 to provide guidance and information. So those kinds of decisions and things would fall under the Department of Ed.
With that, again, it's great to be in Russellville. Thank all of you for hosting us today. With that, thank you.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in his latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. You're listening to 89.1 KYR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Just a brief rundown of the numbers we heard today. The state saw 787 new coronavirus cases, slightly up from yesterday's increase of 734 new cases. Again, today's increase of 787 new cases brought the state's total to 40,968. We saw an additional 7 Arkansans hospitalized with COVID-19 for a total of 508 there. And we saw an additional 6 deaths from COVID-19 for a total of 434. We heard Governor Hutchinson saying that at least yesterday and today, both days, it seems that the daily increase in new COVID cases, well, it is slightly higher than it has been, of course, in since the pandemic began. We were used to much smaller daily increases, but the governor saying that it does seem to be remaining flat, but he did say that that is likely because of the state's testing. We've only saw just about 4,500 tests completed in the past 24 hours, which is about half the highest number of daily tests that we've ever seen. We saw today, instead of Pulaski County having the top slot again for highest number of new cases, we saw Chico County having 152 residents test positive. Health officials saying that that is likely because of an outbreak at a correctional facility there. 145 of those are from that facility. 82 new cases in Pulaski County and 43 in Sebastian County. And again, thank you for listening. This is KYR News.